My name's Carrie Chalmers. I was a volunteer tutor at Lansing Residential Facility from February 2003 through February 2005. I'm an administrative assistant. I'm not trained as a teacher or a social worker. I was shocked that there were adolescent girls incarcerated basically in my neighborhood. I was glad to be able to find a way to volunteer there as a general tutor, and working with the girls was enormously rewarding. But while working there, many of the things that I saw were disheartening to me as a person and as a citizen of this country. My very first student was 13. She read at about a third grade level. She was okay about sounding out words, figuring out how to pronounce words that she hadn't seen before, but she didn't have a very good understanding. She didn't have an understanding at all of punctuation. She would read right through a period and not pause for a comma. She did enjoy reading. There was a series that's written for much younger children called The Boxcar Children, which was about a family of orphans that lived in a railway boxcar and sort of went town to town solving mysteries. She really loved those and was amazed at the conclusions. Another girl I had, we worked primarily on math, and I started her out with just once I had established where she was with math, I realized that she really didn't understand. She added fine, but she didn't understand the concept of subtraction. So we worked on that until she could comprehend what subtraction was. And we worked with flashcards for weeks and weeks just on sets of the minus twos over and over, moving up to the minus threes. And then, I'd been working with her for a number of weeks, she brought some homework from her class in, and they had her doing three-digit multiplication. And she would have tests that she would pass, and I'm not even really sure how that was achieved, because she didn't know how to subtract. I don't think I ever had a student that had her own book. All of the books were shared. Sometimes it seemed that there was one book for a unit, not just two girls sharing a book, many, many girls sharing a book. So a girl might show up for tutoring and report that she had homework due, but that someone else had the book. Or sometimes just with the disorganization of the process of getting the girl from wherever she was in the facility to me for tutoring, she was just sort of plucked out of where she was at the time. There was no way for her to go back to her room or go back to her unit, if that's not where she was, and retrieve her book or any other materials she might need for tutoring. You just sort of got what you got. So she would show up and say, I was having dinner and they came and got me and they wouldn't let me go and get my book. And many of the books were falling apart. Sometimes the girls working on their pre-GED or GED would just have Xeroxes of the workbook. The pages were sometimes missing. They would have some Xeroxes one day and other Xeroxes the next time I would come back. There was no continuity, they wouldn't be in order. It was really difficult to maintain continuity of tutoring with the girls for many reasons. One of them was that tutoring was viewed as a privilege. So on a particular day, if a girl misbehaved, she would not be allowed to come to tutoring that day. I would show up and the staff member at the front desk would say, she wasn't good today, so she won't be able to come to tutoring. Also, there were certain units. I could have been working with a girl for weeks and weeks and weeks. Some sort of behavioral issues repeatedly might be coming up, not with me, but during her regular life in the unit. And I could show up one day and be told that student had been demoted to a unit where they were not allowed to be tutored because, again, it was a privilege. And they were put on units based on their behavior. And if a particular student, I did have one student who was demoted. They had certain regulations about duration of time without any incidences of bad behavior, and the girls could be moved back up to a unit that had more privileges. So I did have a student that was demoted and then came back up again, and so there was a long break, but I was able to work with her again. But many times they would be demoted and I would just never see them again. I was specifically told by many of the girls that they were medicated, and I sensed that many of the others were medicated. I didn't ask them about the medications, but at times they would voluntarily talk about the fact that they were medicated and complain about the side effects. One girl dragged me to the point that she really had difficulty keeping her eyes open to read while we were tutoring, and would complain specifically. She would apologize over and over. She really enjoyed our time together and didn't want to be falling asleep, and would apologize to me, feeling that she was being disrespectful. And I felt sorry for her, having no control over when she was going to be medicated and when she was going to be drowsy. There was a girl who I saw lose a lot of weight, gain a lot of weight. I commented, I hadn't seen her in a number of weeks, and I came back and she had lost a good amount of weight in not that long a time. And I said, "It looks like you've lost weight." And she said, "They changed my medication." And I had other girls complain about their weight, and they would specifically say that they were heavy because of the medication they were taking. And there were other girls who were also frequently drowsy and would complain about the timing of the medication that they were given, that it was given to them so that they would be drowsy in the afternoon and be ready to go to bed. I mean, a girl was complaining that she was falling asleep at going to bed at 6 o'clock at night, when I think in the evening they had some free time that they valued, where they could watch TV or read, and that she was sort of missing out on that. I realized after a bit of time that it wasn't just the first few students I saw were untidy, but that all of the girls had clothes that had stains or food, dirt, holes in them, that the laundry wasn't being done regularly, that they weren't given clean clothes on a regular basis, and that the clothes weren't kept in good repair. They all wore the same sort of turquoise colored t-shirt. There were navy sweatshirts, sort of navy kind of sweatpants, and all of them were just not clean and not in good repair. And besides just the discomfort of wearing clothes that are dirty, it was just another thing on a long list of conditions that really, I think, communicated to the girls that they were not worthy of being cared for. A lot of times they would show up for tutoring with a snack. There must have been, I don't know if the dinner schedule was strange. It seems that sometimes they ate dinner as early as 4:30 and sometimes it was as late as 6:30. I don't know what the changes were related to. And when they showed up with food, I'm not clear. Some girls would sometimes say, this is a snack, a treat I saved from earlier, or it could have been something that they were bringing from dinner, but it was always some sort of processed food, something sugary, high in fat, chips, cookies, artificial fruit punch that was blue, nothing that looked really nutritious. I don't know how they ate for dinner. I had no access to any information about that. I did have a girl who was a vegetarian, and she would complain about not having her own meal that was appropriate for her. She would just sort of get whatever side dishes didn't have meat in them. There wasn't a vegetarian entree. I don't know if that was consistently, but frequently she wasn't given an entree. I was in the lobby of Lansing Residential and I witnessed a face down restraint of an 18-year-old girl who was being transported out of the facility to Rikers Island. The restraint was already happening when I came into the lobby. The girl was on her stomach on the ground. There was one staff member on each leg and one staff member on each arm, and her head was being pressed down into the ground, I believe by one of the staff members' knees. I had been aware of the fact that restraints were used and that there were choreographed, diagrammed, acceptable ways to restrain a girl, which is really disturbing as a concept, and even more disturbing to witness. There were about three other staff members who were not physically involved with the restraint standing around in the lobby, and they were just chatting. The girl was moaning and saying that she was in pain, saying my back, my head. The staff members restraining her they weren't angry, they weren't yelling at her. They were telling her, stop resisting, and she was saying, I'm not. She was saying, please, you're hurting me. They said they would let her head up if she didn't spit, if she didn't bite. One of the other staff members in the lobby started telling me that this girl had, earlier in the day, attacked a staff member, and there was had done some physical harm to the staff member to the point that she had to go to the emergency room. I think it was disturbing to see someone so immobilized in that way, so to have so many people piled on her that there wasn't one part of her body that she could move, that any movement of any muscle, it seemed, would be interpreted as struggling, that it was clearly physically painful, and that I couldn't picture a way that she could do any damage to these people, that she could, that this amount of force was necessary. At the same time, I believe that I was witnessing a sanctioned restraint, that this would have been carried out in a way that was prescribed by New York State as acceptable, as an acceptable way of restraining a girl. I don't know what precipitated the restraint. I don't know if her behavior warranted performing the restraint, but I feel that the staff members were performing it correctly, which is a horrible thing to say. I think the next to the fact that there was a girl being physically restrained in this way, and that was really disturbing to see, I think it was even more disturbing that this was clearly not extraordinary. The other staff members in the lobby were chatting as if they were just drinking coffee together and chatting, not as if there was a girl face down with her face being ground into the carpet. There was a calm and an everydayness about it that was chilling. I saw one girl who was 12, and she was really a girl. She was really still a girl. She loved panda bears, fiercely loved panda bears. She was charming and smart. She wrote poetry. She sucked her thumb when she was upset. One of the staff members said about her, she still has her innocence. One evening I came for tutoring, and they brought her in, and she was crying a little bit, and she told me that her father had died, I think the day before, and I comforted her, and she was very sad, of course. One of the staff members who was there said, she's just trying to get attention. She didn't even know her father. And I thought, well, now she never will know her father, and that it doesn't matter. That was still her father. I really witnessed numerous times when girls were belittled or spoken to in a disrespectful way. And where I sat when I was tutoring was sort of in a little room off of the lobby. So it was directly across from the front desk, and it was a small room, and the lobby area was small, and there was sort of a glass wall with a door that went into the greater facility, and just beyond that wall and that door, the girls would be walked through on their way from class to dinner to back to their units, and you could hear them being walked through. They would have to stop at certain places and stand in line, and then they would be able to move on, you know, always escorted by at least one staff member. So it was sort of, you know, a major artery in the facility, right beyond this door from where I was tutoring. So I would hear the staff members telling the girls to stop and wait and get back in line and that sort of thing. And many times there was shouting at them. But there was one time in particular that I can't remember what the words being said were, but I really viscerally remember the feeling of hearing this male staff member just berating a girl with such venom. And I could hear it so clearly through these heavy glass doors. The volume, he was really screaming. But I think just people, when you hear someone just venting such anger and you feel it in your body instead of your stomach, it creates such a fear, even though I wasn't being yelled at, that picturing a young girl receiving the force of that anger, and that probably for stepping out of line, or she was talking while he was talking. And it went on, and it was nasty, and it was personal, and it was really chilling. There's an institutional language in Lansing that I think really sort of desensitized everybody to the fact that this was a prison, basically, calling it a facility instead of a prison. The girls referred, if a girl was referring to another girl, she would say my peer. The language was sort of heavily about sort of growth and rehabilitation, and that they were on some sort of path to transforming themselves to reenter society, when none of that was actually happening, there's very little that I saw that was actually doing that for the girls. One time I was talking to a student and I referred to the guards, and her neck snapped around and she gave me a look and laughed at me for saying guards and said, "The staff." And I said, "Right, the staff." In my time tutoring at Lansing Residential, I saw girls as young as 12 years old being told explicitly and through their systematic treatment that they were not of value as human beings. It's really outrageous that this is happening. I think that most people in this country are not aware that there are children being treated this way, and that there's a complex system in place that is meant to be rehabilitating, meant to be educating, nurturing, creating youth that can function in our society, that's actually taking girls that have already been, for the most part, abandoned, abused, undereducated, living in poverty, taking them and piling on more degradation and abuse, that we're not creating healthy members of our society. We're creating criminals, and we're creating people who aren't going to be able to function and we're damaging children, I don't know the means to change this, but there are people who know how to change this. And I hope that those who know how will begin to take action to make sure that this sort of treatment of young girls in this country stops.